I know that video caused some tears. First of all, I want to kind of echo some of what TJ said, but happy Mother's Day. And really, thank you. Thank you for the women that are in our church. This day, I know this day for some of you is a celebration. This day is a time of mourning or grieving, and maybe this day for you is a mix of everything, like all the good and all the hard things. So I want to say, wherever you are in your journey, whether you're grieving loss or you're waiting for a miracle to happen, or you're celebrating with your mom, or you wish you were, or there's all these hard feelings in that, or you're being treated like the queen you are today, I want to say happy Mother's Day. We are with you. We are praying for you. And I want you to know that wherever you are in your journey, I want to encourage you because we need you in this world. We need all that you are, all that God created you to be, all that God gifted you to be. We need you in this world to be all of that. So thank you. All right. How are we? I felt like real serious here in a moment. So, today is a unique Sunday because it's the last sermon before I go on sabbatical. So if you're new here, hi. But you won't see me for a while. So, I'd love to meet you though before I go. I heard this sermon earlier in the week because I've never gone on a sabbatical before. I listened to another message of a mentor that I have kind of from afar, Rich Velotis, and I listened to this sermon and there's so many good points and it's so powerful that's the inspiration for this message. So turn with me to John 16 verse 7. We got pretty much like one verse today, all right? It's going to be easy. John 16, verse 7. All right, John 16, verse 7. To set the stage, Jesus is coming into his last days, right? Do you remember this from when we went through this a little while ago? He's coming into his last days. He's meeting with his disciples, and he's telling them, hey, I'm going to leave. And they're all sorts of confusion. What? This doesn't make sense. What's happening? What's going on? They're met with all this confusion. And Jesus says this in 16. He says this, but very truly I tell you, it is for your good that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. I imagine the disciples are like, what? This doesn't make any sense. See, presence is a gift that we give each other. I think through all the letters of the New Testament, over and over and over again, it talks about how we are to be, you call them the one another verses. As we exist in the same space, in the same community, we are to serve each other, we're to love each other, we're to bear with each other, we're to forgive each other, we're to encourage each other with words and songs and prayers, we're to sit with each other in the grieving and the mourning, we are to fight for one another. Our presence is to be a gift. And here we have Jesus saying, look, my presence has been a gift to you. Just like all throughout the scriptures, God's desire is to be present with his people, right? In the very beginning, God is in the garden with Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. Trying to like combine all the words. He's in the garden with them, perfect community, perfect union. And then that gets fractured. And we begin the rest of the story of Scripture where there is a relentless pursuit on God's behalf to his people. Adam and Eve hiding in the bushes, God walks to them, initiates conversation with them. Where are you? Later on, God comes to his people. He goes, this is how I'm going to show up with my people. Here is a place we're going to meet there. Here is how you can encounter me and have a relationship with me. And then fast forward all the way to Jesus. We have Jesus coming on the scene in the beginning of John. And it says, the word became flesh and the word dwelt among the people. His presence was with us. He moved into our neighborhoods and taught us what it looked like to follow him. So how in the world, when Jesus is sitting there going, hey, I'm about to go, but that's going to be the best thing for you. It's for your good that I go. The disciples are going, this doesn't make any sense. What's for my good is that I get to hang out with you, Jesus, walking down the road. Like, what's for my good is I get to have face-to-face conversation with you, even though I don't understand half of it. What's for my good is I get to sit across from you at a Starbucks and you get to encourage me and have conversation with me. And Jesus goes, look, there's something better that's coming. See, what would be better than Jesus' presence with you? It is the presence of Jesus inside of you. See, Jesus says, I'm sending the Holy Spirit to dwell inside of you, to be my presence inside of you. One theologian said it like this, the very best thing to ever happen to you would be for me to go away. Jesus is saying, my absence will pave the way for another dimension of my presence. So what does this mean for you and I? It means that we are never alone. Like the words of Jesus, usually when we say around Christmas, he's Emmanuel, he's God with us. This is God saying, this is actually going to be for real. You are never alone with the Holy Spirit. What else does Jesus say about the Holy Spirit? You are comfort. He's the comforter. The Holy Spirit teaches you. The Holy Spirit reveals truth to you. The Holy Spirit gives you gifts, passions, power. The Holy Spirit testifies to you who Jesus is. And then one of my favorites is the Holy Spirit even prays for you on your behalf when you don't even have the words to pray. When you are struggling, when you are hurting, when you're confused, when you're doubting, when you don't even have the words to pray, the Holy Spirit is praying on your behalf, is working on your behalf, is with you, is comforting you, is giving you power and strength, is teaching you. So God's desire is for his presence to be with you always. And that's what Jesus ushers in by his leaving. And as you walk by the Spirit, as you walk with the Spirit, as you cultivate this dependence and relationship on the Holy Spirit, you are filled with the Spirit and you're called to go out. And you're called to be the presence of Jesus in this world. See, the Holy Spirit works in you so that you go out and you carry that presence with you. Amen. You carry the presence of Jesus with you into your places of work. That coworker that you may not be all that fond of, you get to carry the presence of Jesus to that coworker. That business that might be all about the bottom line and being successful and making money, you get to carry the presence of Jesus and go, there's so much more here. that classroom that you go to, that professor that you may or may not like. You get to carry the presence of Jesus into that classroom, into your apartment, into your home, into your community. That's what we are called to do. That's what we've been talking about the last couple weeks. We are called to be sent to carry the presence of Jesus into the world. So what does this mean for sabbatical? The very first thing that I want you to know is I am not Jesus. All right? I think you know that. And I want you to know that I am not Jesus. Okay? Very first thing. But here's the question. What are the implications of this for our church? We're coming up on a sabbatical. What is a sabbatical? I have a definition of it. A sabbatical is a carefully planned period of time when a pastor is granted leave away from their normal responsibilities in order to spend an extended period of time in rest, renewal, and refreshment. Why is it good that I go away? Why is it good for me? Why is it good for you? Sabbaticals protect us from being a personality-driven church. One thing that we implemented is a sabbatical policy for all staff that are leading a ministry. Why do people normally come to churches? Yes, because they get invited, hopefully, by you. But they usually are attracted to churches for one of three reasons: the worship, the sermon, or the kids' ministry. That's usually what draws people in. They come to church, maybe they're invited, they come in, they see an old building, and they're like, I'm not so sure about this place, but then they walk in and go, wow, this is something different than I was expecting, and they're met with this beautiful, warm community, and there's something about the worship, the sermon, or the kids' ministry that they like. Why do people stay? See, it's a temptation for, especially in the American church, to come for one of those reasons, and then the consumerism kicks in, and then they leave because one of those reasons isn't feeding their expectations. And that's a struggle for the American church. We usually say here, we want spiritual contributors, not spiritual consumers. So our hope as a church is that, yes, you come for one of those reasons, and we pray that all those things are good, and they're up to par, and they're being done with excellence, but we also pray that at some point it changes from, I'm not here because of the sermon, because of the worship, or the kids' ministry. Those are awesome, and those are like add-ons. I'm here because of the community of people. I'm here because I love you. I love you. I serve you. I pray for you. I'm here because of the community that we are building. I'm here because of what I get to give to this community. I'm here because of the relationships that I'm building, the ways that I'm serving, the ways that I am growing here. And so sabbaticals help protect us from being a personality-driven church. They help cultivate this desire that we are here because of the community that we are building. We are here because of one another, not just because what I can get from church, but what can I give to the other people in this room, and what can we give to this community? This is especially crucial, I think, as a church plant. Maybe you're new here, but we started the church 9 years ago, and there's something that's unique about a church plant, is that the church very much looks like the senior pastor. I remember one of my friends came to church maybe when we were 2 years in, and he talked to Emily and I after the service, and he goes, "This church feels just like you. Like this is your, like I can tell you planted, it has your fingerprints all over it. It feels like you." I was like, that's beautiful. But for me, as we mature as a church, the church has to feel like Renew Church. I want somebody to walk in and go, man, this is a beautiful community. There are so many beautiful things about this place. And it feels like Renew Church, not just, this feels like Jamie's church. See, there needs to be a separating from the pastor and the church at times, an intentional leave. A sabbatical provides room for others to grow. Staff and leaders are going to take on the mantle of leadership. Some of you in this room might see gaps in places where you need to step in and exercise some of the ways that Jesus is calling you to. Exercise some of your own leadership. Exercise some of your own serving. That's a beauty of sabbatical, is you can't go, oh, Jamie, what should we do? You get to go, oh, what should we do? Let's decide. Or you might be sitting here, you might see a gap in which you felt this tug by the Holy Spirit that you should fill, and he's calling you to fill, but it's been easy to go, oh, somebody else is taking care of it. Sabbatical is a representation of, oh, there's a gap. I feel this call that I'm supposed to step up and lead. Now's my opportunity. Because that call means that I'm supposed to take care of it. I'm not supposed to wait for someone else to. Sabbatical creates a space for a ministry of absence. I love this term, a ministry of absence. See, usually we need a ministry of presence, right? Like this is the power of ministry. When I go visit someone in the hospital in a dire situation, an emergency, it's not often some theological lesson that they need from me, right? It's not for me to walk in the room and be like, oh, let me explain this theological principle to you. No, what do they need? Your presence, right? When someone has a family member that passed away, they don't need some grand prayer, some theological explanation on how God works all things for the good of those who love him. They simply just need someone to be with them, to sit and go, I'm sorry. I'm just gonna sit here with you because that's what's most powerful right now, my presence, for you to know that you are not alone. We have to learn how to have a presence, a ministry of presence with each other. That's what much of the New Testament is about. But we also have to learn what it means to have a ministry of absence, a creative withdrawal. It's not a running away from anything. It's a creative, intentional leave so that the Holy Spirit can come. A ministry of presence can quickly become a codependent ministry where you need me, right? And I need you. Neither of which put us in a very healthy position. If I get to the place where I'm like, I need you as the church, rather than a place of your presence is a gift to me and my presence is a gift to you, although it's not needed, it is a complete blessing. That is the goal of where we want to be. And we see Jesus take this intentional withdrawal from time to time. In Luke chapter 6, verse 12, Jesus went off to the mountain. In Matthew 14, he sent the multitudes of people away and went up to the mountain. In Mark 1, in the midst of ministry, in the midst of everybody in town coming to see Jesus and wanting to experience what he's doing, Jesus leaves. I don't know that many of us could do that, right? Because you got to take advantage of the moment. You got to ride the wave as it's happening. You got to garner the crowd while they're paying attention to you. While it's gone viral, you have to keep working and keep hustling. Jesus goes, while I'm going viral, I'm withdrawing. I mean, we got to ask ourselves why. Why did Jesus do this? After Jesus was baptized and kind of the inauguration of his ministry was him leaving for 40 days and wrestling with the evil one and working out his identity. And we see in John 10, after Jesus was doing all this ministry and teaching and leading, and we see him kind of get denied by the crowd. And where did he go? In this chapter, when he's talking about we have to listen to our father's, like we have to hear the shepherd's voice. We are the sheep. He's the shepherd. In the moment when he's denied by the crowd, he goes back to the place where he was baptized. I think to be reminded of his father's voice. In the time when all the people were rejecting him, he went back to the place where he heard his father say, "Hey, you are my son. I'm pleased with you. Before you even do any ministry, I'm pleased with you." We see Jesus take these intentional times of withdrawal. And so part of this sabbatical is to give you space as the church to experience the Holy Spirit in new and profound ways, but also to give me space to rest and have fun and have adventure, space to spend time with my wife and kids and with Jesus and give me time with Jesus to grow without the weekly demands of coming up with content. I think that's the thing that I'm most excited about. It hit me about 2 weeks ago where I was like, oh, I'm not going to have to say anything for a lot of weeks. Which translates for me, everything that I read, everything that I pray, all the scriptures that I look at, like this is how it translates. It gets to be for me. Because when the weekly grind is happening, no matter how hard I push it away, it's always a temptation to go, oh, maybe Jesus wants to use it this week. How is Jesus speaking this week? Oh, I could grab that. And even though it's for me, I'm still going to bring it to the people because I think it's for them too. This gets to be an intentional time away when I just get to spend time with Jesus and be reminded that I am his son first. Pastor second. So it's an incredible blessing. It's an incredible gift that you've given me. And it's a gift that we've given ourselves. That we get to spend the 3 months looking and hoping and praying and watching for what the Spirit is doing in our midst. And the last thing the sabbatical does is it reminds us, maybe me more than you, that Jesus holds everything together, right? For you, when you're anxious of like, oh, who's going to be up here speaking? What's it going to be like? Jesus got it. The Holy Spirit's got it. He holds it all together. And for me, especially as the planting pastor, over the last couple weeks, there's been all these, like, I think, daily anxiety moments of like, what are they going to do without me? Right? And for me, it's a reminder, like, no, Jesus got this. This is Jesus' church. This church is the bride of Christ. It ain't my church. It's Jesus' church. So it reminds us that Jesus holds it all together. Jesus holds all things together, he says in Colossians. And there might even be some surprises along the way where you grow in ways that you never could have imagined that you'd grow. So a couple of details. This summer, we have a lot of friends that are speaking, some of which you are familiar with, some of which are from this very church. They'll be speaking and sharing on Sunday mornings. And then just a keynote, if there's any pastoral needs that arise, anything that you need, the leadership team is here to serve you. They are in complete control in leading you. So if you need anything, I think emails have been sent about this, but you can email leadteam@renewchurch if you have any issues that come up or need have pastoral needs that show up. We have a list of other pastors that will step in and fill needs as needed throughout the summer. So, I want to thank you, church. I will be praying for you, and I ask that you pray for my family and I as we go on the sabbatical, and I pray that we all would experience Jesus and be ministered by the Holy Spirit in deeper and more profound ways in this time of intentional withdrawal. Amen? Amen. Let me pray for us. Jesus, we thank you for who you are. Jesus, we so thank you that this is your church. We thank you for this opportunity for us all to be ministered to in new and exciting ways. We pray that you lead us and guide us over the next few months, and that we would experience you, and that we would grow in our dependence on the Holy Spirit during this time. We love you. We continue to worship you this morning. In your name we pray. Amen.